Good morning and welcome to our live talk program. This is Lloyd Grubb here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our live talk program covering the importance of church and this year, Tuesday morning, rise and shine and give God the glory. And this morning here, I'm looking at the topic, crying out for deliverance when morally, spiritually, directionally confused and lost. So welcome again. Hope you had a blessed night rest. Ready to take on the challenges that comes your way today. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for your stabilizing work in our life, the direction that you give us, dear Father, and that you point us, dear Lord, where we can be true as a needle it is to the North Pole. May you bless us, dear Father, that we might serve thee, dear Lord, with a true heart. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm looking here at this topic, crying out for deliverance when morally, spiritually, directionally, you're confused. And this is important as I continue my theme this week. My theme for this week is often the children of Israel got themselves into an oppressive situation. They would cry out, then God would deliver them. A key factor then to me in deliverance from oppression is to cry out or you cry out for deliverance or you're good. So a key factor is to cry out. Or so you have two options in this life. You could cry out for deliverance or you could say, I'm good. And this is part of what I've noticed with society is that often a person be in the worst condition and they just say, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm all right. And by being all right, they stay in that oppressive situation and suffer. So you don't want to do that. So I encourage you this year, whatever problem you're in, you cry out to the Lord, you cry out for help, and help will come. And this is what I believe. And so my focus for today in this idea here is from a religious point of view, from a point of view of a personal directional point of view, that there are times in our lives that we morally or spiritually or directionally, to me, similar context, I'll explain in a second, we become confused or we become lost. And we know we're lost, we know we're in trouble, and we kind of sit there. And this is one of those situations, again, that I believe, that when you get yourself into a situation where you feel like you're confused for anything, even just simply driving, you're just lost, that you cry out, you ask. You don't just sit there spinning your wheel and for hours and hours, just spinning around, ask. If you ask one person to have the answer, probably somebody will know how to get you out of the jam you're in. But oftentimes we could be there like, we'll figure it out. I'm all right. I'm just about to get it there. And sometimes you just need some instructions. Right, and this is why they talk about the Bible is they say basic instruction, something like that, before leaving Earth. So you want some instructions, right? And that's why we go to the Bible. That's why we believe in the Bible, because it's an old book and it gives very good instruction for life. So crying out for deliverance when you're morally confused or lost. When you don't know what the moral right thing to do, when you have dilemmas that are moral dilemmas. And this is not something unique to you or me. This is something that the world over and history over, that people find themselves in moral dilemmas. I don't know what to do morally. And I'm confused. This is when you cry out. You just cry out, God, help me. I really don't know what to do. And help will be on its way. God will bless you. God will make it clear. You know, there's oftentimes you face a dilemma. And you wake up in the next day and you're all right. And so many people find themselves in this confused situation state. And it's simply because they don't know what to do. And so it is spiritually more to do with character. You have in character, an emergency, so to speak, in your character. You don't know where to go. You have in, getting lost in who you are. Cry out. Directionally, same thing. You cry out. You say, I don't know the direction to take in my life. And you cry out, and help will be on its way. I believe this. I've seen this over and over in my life. But you have to cry out. So our main text for this week speaks to this idea here of asking, of seeking help, being in a situation where help is okay. It's okay to say, I don't really know the answer for this thing. And that's why I like going to stores where there's people to help me. You know, it's good to read a review, but sometimes I need somebody to tell me, give me some opinion here and kind of guide me in a direction. I just don't like to just go and shop and leave because, you know, most of the time, most of the things you need, you know what you need. I just need this. Okay. But we need some idea. You talk to somebody who might give you an answer or point you in the right direction. But often people don't like to ask because they think they need to be self-sufficient or they don't want to be viewed as not being too wise or not being too smart. But I always say there's a ton load of stuff that people have studied and know that I just really don't know. I don't really understand. So notice here in Matthew 7 verse 6 onward, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given to you, given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So everyone that asks it, right? This is literally what I believe. I believe that often people don't ask, and so they don't get. They don't seek, and they don't find. They don't knock, and things don't get opened to them. And you do it, and somebody will be like amazed. Like, how did that happen? And how did you get to this place? Like, I just go seek the information. You know, I go find, I go knock, I go look for answers, and the questions come back. And it's nothing much more to it, I believe. Many people say, you know, somebody's blessed and somebody's cursed. Yeah, because sometimes they just follow this principle here. It's not hocus pocus, it's not rocket science. So again, verse 6, "Give not that which is holy." Give not that which is holy unto dogs. So it can't appreciate it. When you're looking for something and you find the answer is more cherished than when you're not looking for it. Because when you offer to people things that they're not seeking, they don't appreciate the solution that you bring. Because they didn't seek it. I didn't ask you anything. That's what people's attitude is. I didn't ask you for that. You're pushing that on me. So the person has to want it. And I've seen in life where they say a person that's convinced against their same, person that's convinced against their own will, I think it is of the same opinion still. They'll go along a little bit and they'll be like, hey, this is not for me. Don't give what is holy to dogs. And over the years, I've proven it, no matter how much I love a person and I want the best for them. If they don't want it for themselves, they're a dog. Not in a disrespectful way, just in a reality. In this context, it might be a nice person, but in that situation, they have no value for it. So, yeah, I don't need that. And it says, "Neither cast your pearls before swine." This can be especially applied when it comes on to moral teachings, spiritual teachings, insight, deep meditation. We normally call it in society, they are like gems, they are like jewels. They're like pearls. And when we talk about spiritual direction, moral direction, anything to do with direction for life, a person that has spent years meditating on life, observing life, and they give good advice, the advice they give are like pearls. They're like a carpenter nailing something up and they do a good job and everything looks symmetrical. You know, you normally, somebody have a shack, you know, you're not going to send a carpenter over there. You're not going to appreciate the work of the carpenter. You live in a shack. You know, you just want something to be banged up and put together, you know, and just itched up a certain way. Just so, you know, it probably fall on them later on and kill them. So, you know, I appreciate it. But when you appreciate, you're a connoisseur, you appreciate something that is of fine value, the person you're doing it for will appreciate it also. And this can be the same when it comes on to any job. So what I do here, I believe it's the similar idea. But some of this over there, they might do, as I say, a carpenter, but they're a master carpenter. They're a master plumber. They're not going to go to a home of somebody that's not looking for like a curved wall. You know, they want the wall curved a certain way. They want certain woodwork done in a spiral and all that type of stuff. And somebody will be like, I'm going to pay you $5 an hour. And the carpenter like, we mean five, that you mean like what I do, I'm a master at what I do. You might be more like $500 an hour. Person like, not only I can't afford it, I can't appreciate that type of work. I mean, I guess I can see it and appreciate it, but it's useless to me. I can't afford it. But somebody who have the money, they'll be like, no, that's what I want. I want you to come over here and build this thing to me. And I want it to be crazy. I want to be blown away every time I look at this wall. And the carpenter be like, I'll make it happen for you. And they'll take pride in it. And then the person will appreciate it. But for me, this was the value of that, you know? You know, and it's the same thing. If somebody's starving, then I have no value for that. But when people have money to throw away, yeah, I guess. Or they I've seen people where their house is like a museum. Literally, you know. So you have to build the house a certain way because the paintings and the art that's going to go into it is of a certain value. So you're not going to put museum pieces of art in a shack. It's not going to, why would you do that? Like, you know, the painting is worth more than the building. Or at least it's not comparable. So it's just, no matter in life, it's what it is. It's so when you have moral gems, when you have spiritual gems, when you have directional gems, a person that's going to bust hell wide open, they have no value for that. So you're there trying to drop some pearls, and the person will be like, man, I need some pig food. What you're giving me here is this, you know what, I'm going to attack you for it. And I've been in so many situations where people who, they're not connoisseurs, they don't appreciate the finer morally and spiritual things in life and directional things in life. They're pigs, you know, and they not only trample what you're giving them, then they attack you for some reason, they find some reason to attack you and say, you probably gave it to me because you're judging me. And, you know, these are silly people. So you just basically say, you know what happened? You're not a connoisseur. You don't appreciate this. There's no value to you, right? So this is the important aspect of this type of stuff. So when people are in an oppressive situation and they're not looking for a better life, they're okay living under oppression, they're not connoisseurs. They're not trying to solve the problems of life and get out from underneath oppression and live a better life. So if I'm here like, yeah, I'm going to explain to you, man, come on, I'm going to explain how we get out of this problem. And they'd be like, man, I spent the rest of my life in jail. And I'm here thinking, let's break out of jail. Let's break out of prison. They'd be like, break out. I'm okay. The food they serve here is good and the housing is good. You know, I do 25 more years and I'm like, man, I don't want to do another day. I need to figure out to get out. See, it's just no appreciation. Right? Verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So that's an approach to life that you have to take. It's an attitude to life that really works. I really believe this. Really works. I always tell the people, like, listen, whatever your problem is, you need to learn and study about your problem. Whatever genetical weakness you have, whatever moral weakness you have, whatever spiritual weakness you have, whatever you're seeking to do, if you're seeking to do a career, a trade, a job, go read some books, you know, before you pay money and start going to school. Go read some books about it. Go probably apprentice, go do something part-time. Kind of get your feet wet a little bit and see if this is for you. And then you plunge in, you dig in, you're going hard, right? You explore a little bit. So if somebody tells me, say, Lord, you know, one of my biggest weaknesses of mental health problems, my thing is going to be how much books you read on that topic, right? Person said, none. I'm like, that's your problem, dear. You're not seeking a solution. You're not trying to help yourself. Get going. You know, someone said, I have a kidney problem. So have you read a book about the kidneys? I know it works. Have you read a book about natural healing for it? No. So that's your problem, dear. You have not made an effort. Oh, but I'm praying. Yeah, you're going to keep praying. You're going to pray until the cows come home. You're wasting your time. You need to pray and do something. You need to act as if you want a solution. There's many people today that have diabetes, high blood pressure, various different coronary heart disease. And, you know, they have not done anything. Maybe you say, oh, you know, I wanted to be brighter, smarter, more spiritual. And what are they doing? Nothing. When is the last time they did a Bible study on anything? When is the last time they read a book on any topic? What videos are they watching? You know, you You want to lose weight? Well, go watch videos on people losing weight. Go watch videos on people exercising and dieting. Start getting your mind revved up on the topic. Get your feet wet. Go try a thing or two. And then now, you can tell me that says you're praying. Because just praying is not enough. You're asking for direction. This is, to me, when you're praying, you're like, God, where to go? Lead me to the right path. I've learned over the years to pray about everything. Things that somebody would even pray about. I just pray. Pray, God, let me talk to the right person. Let me have a good experience here. Lead me to the right book, literally. I pray over simple things. Somebody said, why would you pray over simple things? Because I believe the Lord will answer. Just listen, I'm claiming the promises of the Lord and I've learned to claim them. I'm not going to belabor the Lord with stuff. I'm just like, Lord, listen, I need this blessing. I'm going to read it again. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. I guarantee most Christians don't really listen to what those verses are saying. They read it and they probably can repeat it, but they never really meditated on it. It says, ask. Now you're asking God, but you ask also your fellow human beings. Again, if you're lost directionally and you can't figure it out, and you say, pray God, get me out of there. Or you see somebody walking on the road, you ask. Somebody said, but the person already prayed, that would be a denial of faith. No. The person down the road is the answer to the question. The prayer. Right? So you ask. You just ask. Whoever, just ask. Somebody got to know the answer. And if nobody know the answer, well, I need to figure it out. And then next time somebody asks, I'm going to be able to give them the answer. That's how I look at life. I'm asking. There's a solution to this problem. Because this is a problem. Any inconvenience in your life, any confusion, any whatever, it's a problem. There need to be a solution. So notice here, seek and ye shall find. So again, that takes it deeper because somebody say, asking has to be only 100% with the Lord. No, asking is whoever. Whatever I pray before you, just ask them. They might know, they might not know. Some people say, oh, I'm keeping a secret because I don't want nobody to know my business. Listen, this don't need to be my business. This is a problem. This needs to be fixed. I'm asking. So we all, I don't care. I just ask. Notice here, seek and ye shall find. Right? If I have a problem, I don't care what the problem is. It could be a cancer in my brain. I don't care what it is. I'm Googling. Somebody said, somebody's getting your information. Yeah, I'm being followed for all kind of stuff. You know, I was reading about oats. So I was reading about oats, right? The thing that people eat, the grain, right? Oats. And so I was reading about oats, and I was reading about one of the components of oats. I'm trying to remember what's the component. Anyway, one of the components of oats I was reading about. And as I'm reading about the component of oats, somehow the component is used to treat mesothelioma. It's like basically we have lung problem that is caused by asbestos, I think it is. So I'm reading about this thing here because it's a supplement I've used in the past. And all of a sudden it can't come to my mind. So I'm reading about it and I end up on the mesothelioma site, right? End up on the site for people who have lung problem to do with inhaling asbestos. Then they start following me everywhere, you know, with advertisement. So they might, you know, the advertisement just work as an algorithm. You're on the site, you must be suffering from asbestos poisoning. So that's kind of how the computers work. But to me, it's just like, it's kind of feel weird because I'm like, man, they're tracking me. But then in a way, I'm like, you know, if I had this disease, it would be good for me to get help, right? And then I was thinking, man, you know, if you tell somebody that there's there's substances in oat, the regular oat you eat for quick oat, Quaker oat, that type of oat, has, substance in it to heal such a terrible disease like, you know, asbestos poisoning. Somebody be like, Lord, you serious? I'm like, yeah. That's how powerful these herbs that we have. And, you know, oat is not even an herb, so to speak. It's just a grain. Mesothelioma, something like that. But yeah, so one of the component, which I can't remember for the life of me, is in has healing properties that people have been using and experimenting with for asbestos poisoning. And so they follow me now because I guess the computer think I'm being poisoned. But seek and ye shall find. So this concept of seeking shall find is beyond prayer to me. It's beyond, I'm looking around. So I pray, God, work a miracle in my life to give me a solution. Or I'm going to keep looking, Lord, just make it appear to me. Give it to me by somebody, a book. Let me come upon a situation. Give me a divine appointment. Let somebody say something to me that's off the off the broken path or beaten path, and I'm walking and I meet somebody, I'm talking, like, you know, they say to me, it's a solution for my problem. But I'm gonna be seeking. I'm actively out there seeking because there is a solution. And I remember reading that thing and I'm like, oh man, it's amazing. And that's part of life, you know. And that's part of our experience. But most people, I've never meditated upon this text. So that's why I'm here, right? Doing this. That you have to be active in your own solution. And the Lord blesses. Remember with Israel, every time God blesses a person, they have to step out. They have to make a move. And then the Lord make his move. Because you have to want it. Because when people don't want stuff, they sit there and suffer. There's only people now living in squalid condition, poverty. And they want, but I don't even think they're sure what they want. You gotta want it. And when you want it, and you're seeking, not just I want it, I'm praying for it, but I want it. So beta-glucan, that was the thing I was looking for. I know that thing so much and I can remember it. The brain, I need some herbs. So beta-glucan is used for a lot, is a powerful healing property, but it's right in oat, and it's something that I used to use on a regular basis. So I'm using a while, and I was just looking it up and looking at some of the health benefits of it and stuff like that. And I was thinking about it. And as you know, oat, people use oat for like eczema and stomach problems. And yeah, but I was used to supplement with that beta-glucan, and I'm using it in a while. So I was thinking about it and thinking, you know, I need to probably start using it again. But I was trying to remember exactly some of the health benefits. And then I was fascinated that it was used for, beta-glucan was used or been experimented with for people with lung problems. So anyhow, so when you see that, so you find, right? So I'm finding something that I wasn't even looking for. And I was just reading on their site, and I was fascinated by that this thing would help, because I never heard that before. But again, that's why I was looking, right? Because I was trying to figure out, because it's been quite a few years now that since I've taken it, and I was like, what do I use this for? So anyhow, side note, but very important, to give you an example. You start to find, and you're like, man, I'm finding more than what I was looking for. And I've had that experience many a time. So I encourage you, what I'm saying here is what I've meditated upon and experienced myself personally, that you will find even things that you're not looking for because you're seeking. You know, anybody in the industry, they get deeper into the industry and they become more proficient because they're in the industry and they're learning solutions that they didn't even know exist, right? And notice it says, and it shall be open unto you. He said, knock and it shall be open unto you. So again, you could stand before a door all day long and look at the door, and somebody be right behind the door waiting to open it, but they didn't even know you were there because you never announce your presence. You never indicate that you want to get in. And so, but the door is there and you're outside, but the person inside can't see that you're outside. But when you knock, somebody know, oh, I guess somebody want to come on inside. And then they get an answer. But, you know, we can become so self-sufficient in our waywardness, our moral fall, our lack of direction. And we just don't ask questions and then we don't get no answers. For it says, for everyone that asks it, receive it. This is a very blanket, powerful statement. It's a very definitive statement. Everyone. And he that seeketh does find it. And to him that knocketh shall be open. So go ahead and ask. Go ahead and seek and go ahead and knock. Knock means you have to actively participate. The irony about this text destroys most of what we call mainline Christianity. This destroys it, it obliterates it. The more you meditate about this text, you realize that most of what you call mainline Christianity and mega churches and stuff like that are a fraud. They teach the opposite. They want God to do everything. But notice here, this is righteousness by works. According to how they teach it, it perverts what they're teaching. It goes against it. Not in the sense that you're trying to work your way to heaven, but you got to do something. You got to go pray. There's nothing in Christianity in the Bible that tells you that God's going to force you to pray. But yet God says, I don't give pearl to swine. You're a pig if you just want to get stuff and you don't want to be an active participant. That's what Christ said. You're a pig. You're a dog. But when you start to go after it, you convert, you know, become a human being that's a sinner that needs help. You have to ask. Something I'm not going to ask. Jesus was just blessing me. Yeah, really? I'm not going to seek. He's just supposed to come my way. A divine whatever. No. I'm not going to knock. See, not mean you're doing something. Somebody said, no, I can't. I'm not going to lift a finger. God just was to bless me because I'm God's child. If you're God's child, you participate in your own blessing. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody said, why am I working that? See, that text, I don't like that text. Paul was wrong. These people contradict even Paul. So notice here in Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So notice somebody could say, well, the Spirit comes and I just need the Spirit. Again, this text contradicts most of what people are taught as Christians. Oh, I just need the Spirit. No. The Spirit comes and the Spirit bless you and I, everybody, the whole Christianity. But the Spirit also establish people for a specific task. And that blesses you. Just like what I said, the Lord heard the cry, as I covered yesterday very clearly. They heard the cry of the children of Israel. Then he sent Moses. See, people miss that all day long because they say, oh, I just need the Spirit. That's fake Christianity again. Spirit comes, and as you know the story, the Spirit comes, but still Peter preach the message. Spirit comes, and then Lord send Paul to the church. The Lord could say, I'm going to cut people out. But that's not how the Lord works. When the Lord created Adam and Eve, he could say, you have to come to me for food. But Lord didn't do that. Lord sent Adam and Eve to trees, plants, and that's their food. So the man said, wouldn't that cut God out? No, he doesn't cut God out. God is the creator. He's the source of those food. And you worship him. You don't worship the plants. But you know some people, they're tree huggers. They're worshiping inanimate objects. They worship the sun. Instead of thinking, well, who made the sun? And we need to worship that person. Who made the moon and the stars? Well, we need to worship that person. They go and start worship the thing that was created. Right? But no. God sent some evangelists and some people to bless us. And that's how the Spirit work. But some people, oh no, I need to hear from the Spirit. And I've never met somebody that talk like that and they're not a bag of mess. Because the Lord sent them a blessing via somebody. And they're saying, I'm waiting for the Spirit. And I'm like, really? You're waiting for the Spirit? So what if the Spirit send a message to a pastor or evangelist or a prophet or a teacher? Oh no, I don't want that. The Spirit. How about the Bible? You go to the Bible? Oh no, we don't go to the Bible because we need the Spirit to talk to us. So what if the Lord lead you to a certain text? I don't want to hear that because that thing is old. I want a fresh message from the Lord. Really? Interesting, but that's not how it is in the Bible. That's not how God work. So notice here, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So then the question I would ask you, can the body be perfect? Can a saint be perfect? can the ministry be done and can the body be edified without these people? And the answer is no. That's just how the Lord works. As you say, you like it or you don't, you got to deal with it. I have to deal with it. Notice here why. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. So the unity of faith comes through us working with each other. There's a cooperation that we do. And notice again, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God bless people to bless you. Just like if I go somewhere and somebody's doing a certain job, I'm not even stretching my thinking. I don't stretch my thinking and thinking I need to do that job. That's just, they do it and God bless them. I appreciate their service. And that's it. Because not everything in life I really grasp properly enough to do it for myself. And I don't think I'm less or more. I just think that's how life works. We all bless each other. Everybody received the Spirit and everybody receives certain talents. But the talent you have, I don't have it. So then you minister to me and I minister to you. But people in their self-sufficiency and their braggadocious, prideful ways, they think that I can do everything for myself. But that's not how we are created. That's not how creation, humanity, nature works. Everything ministered to something else. You know, why is it that God made it that the plants need pollination? And they need these insects, these bees and bumblebees, and the various different honeybees and all these other type of insects to pollinate plants. Why did he make it that if this thing over here don't do this, this thing over here dies? It's just the way God works. It's, you see the principle in the spiritual, you see it in the natural. The principle is rock solid. And then you start to see the potency of the Creator, the hand of God, the finger of God, as they would say, because he's consistent. You know, he's prolific when he comes on to design, but certain set principles he repeats it. So you start to say, oh, that's God. So that's how you know God. But you're like, I've seen him before. I've seen this before. Where did I see this? Oh, I'm not seeing the thing. I'm seeing really God by faith. You know, faith is the substance of things. You know, you're seeing something you're looking at. But then as you look at that thing, you'll be like, oh, I don't think I'm seeing a thing. What I'm seeing is God. Anyhow, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So when you see people always in unstable, so morally, spiritually, directionally, they don't know where they're going, they know where's up, where's down. What the Bible is saying, what they're missing is an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher in their lives. And the moment they get this, you see they stabilize out. Show me an unstable person, I'll show you a person that they're talking to themselves too much. They're their own opinion. They don't talk to people. They don't get to hear other people's thinking. They're only in their thinking. You know, I've realized in life that there's many people who are narcissists, but they don't know it. And you can pick a narcissist out. They can't be in a conversation unless they are talking about what they want to talk about. If you're not talking about what they want to talk about, you see they disappear from the conversation. Because they've developed a mindset to only be interested in what they're interested in. So when you look at this, it's like they're tossed to and fro, not because they're receiving. If they were receiving, they will get some direction. But they're receiving their own self. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and it clicked in my mind. I'm talking to somebody and they keep just like cutting me off. And I'm like, I said to the person, listen, you already know your opinion, right? Yeah. And you have a problem, right? Yeah. So your opinion is not helping you, right? So then you need to listen to my opinion and then take what you want from that. But obviously, you've had this problem for 17 years, you say, right? And they say, yeah. And your reasoning and understanding, now I've not fixed the problem for 17 years, yeah. So why am I talking to you and you're doing most of the talking about the same problem? Huh? I said, listen, you're talking and you're telling me your solution. And your solution has not worked for 17 years. I'm just saying. Just think about it. It's not work. you have not solved the problem. So probably you need to listen to somebody else and probably try their thing and let's see. Because obviously you can't solve your own problem. It's not working, right? You see, it's that's why. Somebody else. You know, somebody sometime will come and you'll be there baffled over something and somebody else come and say, oh yeah, I've dealt with that before. This is how you do. You do this, that, boom, done. You just do this over here, that over there, done, bam, done. Simple. It's not that hard. And you're there like, what? Man, this thing is killing me. Because that's why we all, our brains work totally different. It's always fascinating to see how another person approach life, approach reasoning. And it's just different. And so sometimes you need another opinion, as they say. That's it. But what happens if you're actively seeking, then your attitude is different. But some people, they're not actively seeking. They're just fake seeking. Yeah, you know, they're giving you the solution. They're giving you the problem and they're giving you the solution at the same time. Then keep your solution and don't come to me and waste my time. You already have your solution. Go ahead and bang out that solution and keep banging your brains out because that's all that's going to happen. So it's important that you not be tossed to and fro because people are taking somebody's solution and you have to mark people, which is my encouragement here this week. Mark people who are a waste of time in your life. Because they're taking somebody's solution. That's why they're so messed up. But they're not taking your solution. So let them go ahead to the prophet or the apostle or the pastor that they're taking solution from. Because they're taking some solution from some internet guru or somebody that is just messing up their lives and just making a mess of it. And then they come tell you the mess. Like, don't come tell me the mess. I don't want to hear anything. You know, what are you looking for? Just somebody to validate your bad choices? I mean, people that are like that. They want you to validate their bad choices. And it's just the dumbest choices they're making. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's a maturity that comes as we're moving in the right direction. And there's an immaturity that comes when, as I said, people say, oh, I don't need to take a second opinion. I love taking second opinions because I've learned that sometimes the solution is very simple and I'm ruminating over something that not get me anywhere because it's just the way my brain is approaching it. It's just I'm messing myself up. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. According to the effect to a work in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So when you love, you're trying to build up, right? And we all need building up. If it's one thing, you should approach life that you need to improve every year. And part of improvement is to partake, is to seek and to find and to knock and to get things open to you. If you have a whole list of stuff or a few things at least you start in a year that you say, I'm gonna try to improve on this. I'm gonna start watching some videos, I'm gonna start learning. You're just not doing life right. I'm just telling you up front, you just have a wrong approach to life. There's no other way for me to say it. You have to be actively seeking to solve things that even people didn't know that you needed to solve. You have to be in a mindset that I need to improve. I need to do better. And that's why I say my topic is crying out for deliverance throughout this week, or at least my theme. When you have direction, you have to say, listen, whatever situation you're in, if it's not improving or better, you're in a wrong situation. The moment, I remember years back, I hear people say this, that the moment you get too complacent in life, you're just done messed up. I'm like, huh? The moment you get complacent in life, you feel like, oh, this is good. You watch a person who never improve, it's like, they're good. So they're complacent in life. And they're okay in the position they're in. But remember, we are created with this innate, you know, it's a programming that we have by God. That we always seeking to improve and increase. That's why human beings, we just go there and try to make more money and don't understand why they're making more. Because there's a programming that we all go by. And so if you're not trying to do better and improve and increase, you're going against the programming. And that's why many people, they say they have no purpose because they don't understand the purpose of life is that we improve, we do better. Our brains are infinite. the capacity of our brain to learn is infinite. We can learn and improve and grow for eternity. The brain has massive capacity, but we don't stock it. And if you try to stock the brain with information, you'll be blown away. I'm blown away. You read a book, and you read another book, and you read a thousand books. And if your brain would just keep taking the information in. It's amazing how the brain would just keep swallowing that stuff. But if you're not seeking information, you're not seeking direction, your brain was just like atrophy, you know, it just go backwards. It just dwindle and it just become useless. So we are made to constantly learn, constantly improve. Now, with this thought, I wanted to get here faster. We go to Judges chapter 10, keeping with our theme for this week. Judges 10, verse 6 onward. So notice here, this is a common story, as I said, for this week's theme with the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistine and forsook the Lord and served not him. So this list here is a pantheon, so to speak. This list here is crazy. Because when you understand these gods that they serve, it's what demoralizes society. So the society around the Jews were religious. They had religion, so to speak. What we normally call pagan religion, but they had religion. But another way to look at it is they had demoralizing religion that made them brutal and sensual, murderous. And so when it says they're serving these gods, it's a moral, directional, spiritual fall. And that's the point. When you go a certain direction, it affects your life. So they're partaking. Now, as I say, you see a person and you're trying to talk to them and they're not listening to you. They're listening to something. They're listening to either their own mad head or they're listening to some mad person on the internet or some mad crazy preacher. It might sound that they're not crazy, but the crazy is a loon. So listen to somebody. So here they're serving these gods. And what was these gods? These gods, the religious practices, which were gods created by demonic or fallen human beings who are not going to morally lift you up. It's gods according to the crazy mindset of whoever invented the gods. So these are man-made religion that does not lift man up but demoralizes man. And so one of the crazy practices of like the god, the Ashtaroth, is the practice of sacrificing children. So these are the type of gods that they would follow. These gods made them more, you know, jealous, more covetous, because the gods were jealous. That's one of the concepts of pagan gods, because human beings are jealous. So, but is the god is not rendering vengeance. The god is just vindictive. There's a difference. Vengeance because of immorality is one thing. Yeah, God is merciful. But their gods was just vengeful, just killing them for no reason. So to appease the god, they would sometimes sacrifice their kids. So that's what they were picking up. So this is abortion or aborting true Christianity, true godliness for a lower inferior morality. So the god, that would send them into a bad situation. It would make them become oppressive because the gods were oppressive. So the people serving those gods, according to the people, conceptualization of the gods, made the people oppressive. So notice here, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistine and into the hands of the children of Ammon. So in our modern day world, that would be the Palestinian area and the Jordanian area. The people were living in that area at the time. They would get sold into their hands and they would oppress them. So notice that the oppression didn't happen first. Is the mindset got destroyed. Watch a person who is in oppression is a person who does not seek. Very key point here. A person that's always getting themselves beaten up is a person that don't seek, don't ask, and don't knock. They don't get a second opinion. One of the most powerful things to avoid getting caught into scams and into all kind of trickery, whatever the trickery is, whether it be spiritual or financial or social, ask opinion, seek other information. You know, don't take my word for it, as they say. And I say, go double check. Read the Bible, read history, read other sources. Get a kind of three-dimensional view. Is this truth? And then you partake. What they did, they got sold philosophically by the oppressive nation, and then they got sold physically into bondage. Notice, and it says they did evil again. And the result is oppression. You see a people oppressed, it's a people. Ignorance and oppression goes hand in hand. I don't care if you're looking at slavery in the world, all this thing. Those who are being enslaved, is their ignorance is their darling, so to speak. Paganism is their darling. Devil worship, all that stuff. And they always got into oppression. You watch a people that is a sucker, as they say, for a conspiracy theory. That's a group of people that will always be ripped off and bamboozled and saying, oh, they're being taken advantage of because they're gone mentally. So this, the spiritual is number one. You don't prosper and you're messed up in your head. It is, you're going to be cursed. Notice here, and that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were in the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. So we're not talking about just theoretical now. It gone from theoretical to now. It's a beatdown. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord and say, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. So as I said to you before, and you know well, that Christianity is headquarters in the United States of America. United States of America, it just so happened, people believe, that is the superpower. And they believe it's because of the military might, not because of the spiritual strength that is here. So what has happened in the last few years or a few decades is that America is leaving the church and they go into Eastern mysticism, yoga, they go into paganism, old world paganism, they go into atheism. What have atheism ever done for society more than create more debt and destruction? You know, what good has atheism done for society, any society? So anyhow, they're moving away from God and they're rejecting God. And here comes the curse. It is the same story. People don't understand what morality and true spirituality and a direction, a very specific direction, does for society. So they turn against this and they say, oh, I'm going to become atheist. That's a directionally, you're just nowhere. Spiritually, you're nowhere. Character-wise, you've gone. You don't have a direct direction as to who you are. You know, somebody say, well, this is a Christian nation. That has value. But when you just move away from that, then what are you? We don't know. We're confused. Right? So this is what happened to them. And they were serving Baalim. Basically, it's like we do today. They say called it spiritual formation. It's like a form of devil worship. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and the children of Ammon and from the Philistine, the Zidonians also and the Amalekite and the Maonite did oppress you, and you cried to me and I delivered you out of their hands. So that's just the problem. You know, remember, America is established because Europeans were being oppressed by the Catholic Church and the Church of England, the monarchy in England. So they fled and they came here to escape oppression, and they established a society that has freedom of state, freedom of religion. But they don't understand the value of religion, so they turn their backs against religion. So now stuff is just getting, it's just a beatdown. And that's the same thing. People sometimes forget, well, why are we here? That's a loss of direction. That's direction and you're lost. Spiritually, why are we? I don't know. We don't have no spirit. We claim no spirituality, which is in itself to me is just madness. Morally, well, you know, I've heard so many young people say there is no morals. There's no right or wrong. That's spiritually, that morally you're lost. You know, there's no evil. So you mean if you take a baby and show them into a incinerator or into a thing that mulch up people or mulch up things, you know, some compact or something and kill it is not evil? No, it's not evil. Who decide that that's evil? To me, evil is just anything that is brutal and wicked. It don't matter. You know, earthquake is evil. Tornado, hurricane is evil. They are evil. It's just what it is. But you see, that's why they could, when the children of Israel rebelled against God and started doing devil worship and they lost their direction, they could sacrifice their kids. You know, so you that's why there's an increase in sacrificing kids in this place. So notice that, yet ye have forsaken me and serve other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen, and let them deliver you. So deliver you in a time of your tribulation. So everybody's in tribulation, but what is the God? The God is freedom. Free to do whatever I want to do any old time. That's the new God. Everything is freedom. Freedom, freedom fries, freedom this, freedom that. I'm like, man, worshiping this concept of freedom. But when you serve God, the concept of freedom, you stop that. It's madness. There is things that you can't do. There's limits. To me, a person that's every day talking about freedom and a person talking about there's no evil, two of them are the same thing. It's like peas in a pod. You know, the opposite side of the same coin. One is freedom, freedom, freedom. The other one is, oh, there's no morality because I'm an atheist. What's the difference? The two of them is the same, crazy. There are limits to what we can do in life. There's limits to my body. There's limits to, there's limits to my brain. You know, I've had time when I'm concentrating so much that I start having a headache and I have to stop what I'm doing. It's just, there's limits. But before, there shouldn't be no limits. Oh, really? Anyhow, and the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. So they confessed their sins. Do unto thou unto us whatsoever thou seemest good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. So they said, listen, whatever. We'll just do whatever. We don't want the oppression. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. So they're in a miserable condition, living in just terrible oppression. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He said, he shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So if you read the next chapter, chapter 10, which I probably read probably Thursday, probably, you know the story. So they found somebody that they had rejected and they say they make him king, right? And they made him king. So they're probably, I still continue that narrative where I show you that notice they cry to the Lord is a very repetitive concept straight through the Bible and straight through life. People looking for a champion. In the last 4 years, we had a champion that was fighting for America. At least that's what the people said. But the concept is still here today, in other words, what I'm trying to say. So what the concept? The people said, listen, we made bad choices. We all done messed up. God, we repent. We're really sorry for what we did. Deliver us. God said, okay, I'll deliver you. And then you think, well, how God? Well, deliverance comes the same way. God chose a champion for them. And God said, okay, I'm going to get you somebody to deliver you. And then God gets somebody to deliver them, and the person would deliver them. But the person was always called a judge. Even though the person would fight physically for them or lead them into battle, they were called a judges. I remember first when I read the judges, I couldn't get it. I was like, judges? Why is it called judges? All these judges, they're like Samson. What kind of judge is he? But then you'll read and it says he judged Israel. So you say, how he judged Israel? He was a person that held it together morally, judgment-wise. He led the people, not per se to battle. He had to get rid of the enemies first. And then he was a judge. He literally like a person that's a court justice and a sheriff and a chief of police at the same time. He was security and judgment in the sense of legality, right? He settled matters. Because remember, since he's now the head weapon guy, he's also the guy that will enforce morality in the society. enforce legality. So if somebody kills somebody, you settle that because he's a guy that controls the troops, so to speak, or more so the sheriff department or the police department. That makes sense. So, but that's why I used to baffle me, like judges, like the judge will judge Israel and he will keep the moral standard or the social order because the society had gone out of order here. So then you see it's the process. So then the judge will say, no, this is the way things are going to go. And then the people will be blessed, right? And the judge will judge righteously, hopefully. And then the people will be blessed. And you see that. So it's the same thing. So when you see somebody coming in and say they're going to deliver a society, well, they have to deliver some judicial changes. Aha! They deliver some judicial changes. But is it judicial changes for good for the society? You see, that's the question. Does it make the society more moral? Or do they just deliver judges that are just more wicked and evil? See, it depends. So somebody could say, well, they made judicial changes. Yeah. For what? What's going to be the end result? Right? Is there more curse upon the land? And that's part of what it is. So when we talk about leadership, when we talk about God is establishing leaders to, you know, or to deliver people, I should say, not just leadership, but to deliver people. Leadership always a part of it, right? That's like a secondary takeaway. So it's almost you have to have this understanding that there has to be some level of social order, because part of our blessing, the whole thing of our blessing is what direction we're going in. What's your spiritual experience? What's your moral experience? How are you doing in your home? How are you doing in your physical life, your health? How are you doing in your exercise? How are you doing in your diet and lifestyle? You know, why do we have the FDA? Why do we have the FTC? Why do we have the CDC? Why do we have all these diverse different agencies for the interior, for all that? Because that's all for the tranquility of the society. Why do we have the Army Corps of Engineers? Why do we have all these different things? Because all of that is for the internal tranquility. And a judge or a leader who's going to bless the country or bless the church, leading to affect people in these areas of life, he affects those areas. Because whatever is messing up the people, he's trying to solve that problem. But if a judge is there and he's like, oh, no EPA. Like, what? We live in a world that you can't trust people to do right when it comes on to lead and asbestos and all these different things. Somebody have to watch that. So that's a judge who want to destroy the society. So it's important to note. So God, when the people cry out and say, Lord, deliver us. Then the Lord says, I'm going to send you somebody to deliver. That's how it works. God said God could work a miracle. That's what people think. But a miracle often comes in good leadership. It comes in a good pastor, a good senator, congressperson, a good manager for a company. How many times companies are going down the tubes and then they get rid of the manager, probably board of directors, get rid of the manager, you know, the CEO normally is what I'm talking about. And then they bring in a new manager or a new CEO, whatever you want to call it. And he goes, he makes certain changes and the company starts to flourish. People start to make more money. The customers are happier. It's just a change that is needed. The right change, though. So that's how God works. And that's what people think. Oh, I need to figure it out my own self. No, that's why there's leaders. That's why there's people in your life. That's why you're not an island. That's why we're born in families. And some of us had it worse and some of us had it better. Why? Depends on the family you're born in. Some family was just a torture chamber. Some family, people had it better. They had a more stable upbringing. Leadership does matter, in other words. And so you cried for deliverance. If you're in a bad situation, you feel like morally, spiritually, directionally, you're confused, that's when you cry. When you're not stable, you're not getting the blessing, life is not good, don't sit there and just say, my life is hard. That's a bad attitude. That's a wrong attitude. You need to say, listen, deliver, and start looking for solution. You'll be amazed. You will get an answer, and you will get a blessing. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, again, for your blessing towards us and the direction that you take us. And I pray, Lord, that as you told us, we should cry out to you. And we know you're merciful and you're a kind God. And you hear our cries, and you've heard my cries and the cries of those that are listening. I pray, Lord, that you might continue have your ears open to our pleading. We do ask for forgiveness when we have sinned. And we pray, Lord, that you may bless us according to your mercies and according to our works. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live tomorrow morning where we should talk about natural health. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.